Kathy and John, would you like to come up and share? You can either stand up or sit down, whichever you please to do. But use the microphone because we can't hear very well.
There you go. Can you maybe see us, okay?
Well, we want to say thank you for inviting us. And it's good to obviously spend a little time with you guys. And how we got here to Bible Fellowship Church is kind of a unique process, and so we're excited to see how God has brought us to this point. And so this morning we'll kind of reach back into our history and kind of give you a little bit of background. I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and my dad, of course my mom is here, my mom and my dad met at Bible college and got to know each other. They actually came from the same town, went to Bible college and met there. And then my dad, I think on his junior year of college, went on a missions trip to Hawaii. And when he was there, God really impressed upon his heart to go back to Hawaii when he graduated and start a church. And of course, back in the 60s, Hawaii probably wasn't quite what it is today. And so when my dad and mom graduated from college, they got married and they went to Hawaii and started a church. And so my parents were there and ministered there. And then through a series of God events, my parents ended up in California as missionaries. And ministering with local churches, trying to help them with their youth ministry through the ministry of Word of Life. And so we lived in California for a couple of years, and while we were living in California, we were at our church one evening on a Sunday evening, and during the message, there was just something important about that message that kind of rang a bell with me. And so when we got home that night, obviously, you know, moms usually, you know, kind of tuck kids into bed. And that night, my mom and I had this conversation about salvation. And so we talked it through, and my mom walked me through the plan of salvation. And that night, I think I was probably about 5 or 6 years old, I trusted Christ as my Savior.
I also grew up in a pastor's home. My dad was a missionary pastor to small churches that were going to be closing their doors because they weren't big enough to support a pastor anymore. And so he was a supported missionary pastor. And we were living in Natick, Massachusetts. And I was 5 years old. We had vacation Bible school that week. And the missionary from Africa that day was talking about heaven and hell and knowing for sure how you could go to heaven. And I was very shy, so I waited until we got home that afternoon, and I asked my mom about it. And so she explained the gospel to me and led me to the Lord that afternoon.
Living in a missionary home was very unique for us, and so obviously my parents had ministry in Hawaii and then in California. And Word of Life then in turn asked us to move to the state of Florida. And so my parents picked us all up, and we ended up going to Florida. And we ended up spending some time in Tallahassee. And then, believe it or not, Lake Wales and Orlando. So we've lived in 3 different places. In Florida, in ministry, and so it was very unique. And then through those years, were kind of my teenage years, and so it was a lot of fun in the sense that I went to a Christian school, and I had some really great friendships, and you go through like 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, you know, all those kinds of things, and. During my high school years, you begin that process of thinking through, like, what do you want to do with your life, you know? And usually, once you kind of get to senior high school, there's, you know, a little bit of conversation around that. And some people kind of fall into things. Some people, you know, they try two or three, four different things. And so, as a young person, I wanted to be a police officer. And so when I was in high school, there was a young lady that I had dated, her father was a police officer with the Orange County Sheriff's Department in Orlando, and he and I had had some conversation about the fact that, you know, and let me just pause and just chase a rabbit for a moment. It was always determined in our home that all of us boys, there was five of us boys, all of us were required to go to the Word of Life Bible Institute for 1 year. And so that was just a kind of a common agreement that we were all going to do that. And so anyway, this police officer, who is the father of one of the girls in my class and whatnot, he had said to me, when you get done with that Bible college thing, you come back and see me, I got a job for you. And so I was always really excited about that. So, you know, my expectation was that I would finish high school. I'd go to police academy and I'd be a police officer. But that wasn't necessarily what happened. Oh, yeah. Thank you. So one other big, huge event. So when I was 15, my dad actually got sick and ended up passing away. And so that was this big, huge aspect of our lives, because, you know, we went to, you know, mom, dad, five boys, you know, and so when my dad died, it changed the landscape of our home a lot, in the sense that, you know, my mom had to go to work, and for the most part, you know, my mom didn't really work outside of the home up until that point, per se. And so, you know, we had to take care of ourselves. We had, you know, there was just a big, huge change, in that aspect. And, it really, to a certain degree, really forced us as boys I think of the term I said a moment ago, we really had to step up, and we had to, you know, to, you know, feed ourselves, take care of ourselves, get ourselves to school, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And it's interesting. I would say that. I say this. I'm surprised we didn't kill each other, you know, at times. And so, and I'm surprised that we made it through that period of our life, you know. And so, but God used that in a great way to make, you know, in my life, to make me mature, to grow. You know, there's a lot of learning that takes place in that process. And you know, there was also a period of time where you kind of questioned God. Like, God, really? You know, and so there was a lot of, you know, I think probably for all of us boys, there was that, you know, that struggle we had with God because of that taking place. And it was something that we had to work through, we had to go through, and kind of tempers you when you go through those types of experiences.
As my dad changed churches, because as soon as the church would get to a point where it could pay a full-time pastor, then they would send him to another church that was about to close its doors. So we lived in Massachusetts, then Oklahoma, then Ohio, and then back up to upstate New York, where my mom had grown up. And as a teenager, when we moved back up to New York, I was in eighth grade, and I don't know why she had never shared it before with us, but when we were that close to Word of Life, she said, I went to Word of Life Island as a teenager, and that's where I trusted the Lord as my Savior. So she wanted, because it was a special place for her, she wanted us, now that we lived near there, to be able to go to camp at Word of Life. And that is the first time I had ever heard about it. And she had seven in her family, and six out of the seven in her family had trusted Christ on the island. And so that next summer, I got to go to Word of Life camp. And then, because I loved it so much, I was very shy, so it was a hard week, because usually I went to camp with my family at church camps, because they would always be part of it. So this was my first time on my own. But it was interesting, because I had never said I didn't want to serve the Lord, but I had never really been given a public opportunity to say I want to serve the Lord. So I almost went to camp planning to walk forward and dedicate my life to the Lord that week because my mom had shared with me how they have the campfire service and give you that opportunity. And so then the following year, I went back up and worked for the summer, which was very healthy for me being in a public school where there was hardly any Christians in my school. So it was a very great summer to build friendships with other Christians. And then from there, I planned on going back up there to Bible college because I had such a great experience. And I went to Bible college looking for Christian guys because I had no Christian guys in my high school. The next, in our youth group, the only other Christian guy was my brother, so it was just slim pickings. And so I went that first week, and I even actually wrote names down on a piece of paper, like as I met people. And John's name was actually one of those on my paper. So as I got to know them, I would kind of cross them off the list. But the thing that stood out to me as I got to know John was he was the only one that had asked me about my quiet time. And so when I went to my ministry that fall was open air evangelism, which we would go down to New York City and share the gospel with people on the streets or in neighborhoods, children in neighborhoods even. And so he was praying for me while I was there that week. And as we became closer friends, I knew that I wanted to marry him. And we never really talked about getting married until he proposed because I wasn't going to give him an answer before he asked. but we dated during my year at the BI. He was a second year student. And that summer of my Bible Institute year, I was a counselor on the ranch. And he was running a program at the island facility. And I remember the director of the island asking me if I would switch and come to the island because they needed a snack shack supervisor, and that was my job at the college that year. But I didn't want to be in the same place as him because I knew it would be distracting and hard to not be able to spend time together but be in the same place. He would be allowed to talk to other girls, but really not hang out with me. So I chose to be a counselor on the ranch, and God really used that summer to help me just in coming out and not being so shy of a person, but to be able to pour into people's lives. And I also wanted to mention one thing, too. Before I even went to college and even on my summers home from college, my grandma was a widow, and she had been a widow since my mom was 16 because her husband died of a heart attack. And I got to spend so much time with her because she would sometimes need us as grandchildren to come stay with her. And I cherished those times, and I just loved the fact that I got to see her in her walk with the Lord. I got to see her faith, and as missionaries too, when John and I started serving the Lord, she was one of our first supporters, and I know prayer warriors. And so those teenage years, I appreciated my time with her, and I also really grew and found my husband at the Bible Institute.
So when I graduated from high school, actually back up just a little bit before that, it was always expected in my family that we would go to the Word of Life Bible Institute. That was an expectation at our home. And so my dad died when I was 15, and so there was that expectation. So when I graduated from high school, I went to the Bible Institute, and as I had mentioned before a moment ago, that there was this girl that I had dated, and her father wanted me to be a police officer. So my plan was I would just go to the Bible Institute for a year. Then I'll step into that role. And so I did my first year at Word of Life, and I had a great time, thought it was wonderful. And I got all the way to the end of summer, and there were two men that came the very last week of summer. Let me just pause for a moment. I ran the outdoor adventure program my first year, taking kids on extended trips into the wilderness and whatnot from Word of Life Island. And so the last 2 weeks of camp were free for me, and so I was working at the boathouse, and then in the afternoons and evenings, I would go to this man's house who was renovating a house there in Scroon Lake, and I would scrape windows to make some money. And so my plan was, and I actually already had a ticket to go back to home, and I was just waiting to graduate. And so one day, that very, very last week of camp, two men that I highly respected, two men that had a, you know, I knew for many, many years. Matter of fact, both of them at one point were my dad's boss at Word of Life. And so anyway, I'm at this guy's house trying to make, you know, a few dollars. And so these two men come and they say, "Hey, John, why aren't you going to come back to the second year at Word of Life?" And to be really transparent with them, to you guys, I guess, to say, I lied. I said, I didn't have the money to come back. Now, between you and me and the fence post, it was true. We didn't really have the money to come back, but the honest truth was I didn't want to go back. I already had a job back home. I wanted to be a police officer. Everything in my life had lined all up, I thought. And so these two guys, they come down there. They ask me this question. I say to them, "Well, you know, I don't really have the money," and da-da-da-da. And they leave. And I thought, whew, that worked out really good. And about an hour and a half later, they come back. And they go, "Hey, we got your second year all paid. All you got to do is show up." I wasn't laughing. I was like, "Oh, my word. What do I do now?" And to kind of make it worse, both of these, again, like I mentioned a moment ago, both of these are men that when my dad died when I was 15, just had this ongoing relationship with me. You know, they would stop by my house. You know, they would ask me to come help in things. You know, they kind of kept in tune with what was going on in my life. And so, I was struggling now. Now, what on earth do I do? How do you tell two men, you know, that, you know, kind of filled the role of your dad for a period of time? You know, how do you tell them no? You know, especially when you kind of got this goal in mind that you've always wanted to do. And I got to tell you, like, I struggled really hard. And, and so ultimately at the end of the day, it boiled down to the fact that I felt like I couldn't disappoint, you know, these two men. And so I ended up back at my second year at Word of Life. And that first week of my second year, which was when Kathy showed up, okay. But that first year, there's always at Word of Life, there's always a big campfire. Usually the first week of the Bible Institute, there's also a push, you know, to serve God and dedicate your year and that kind of stuff. And so, that first week was really a struggle for me. It came down to the campfire, and just that night, God really impressed upon me at that second year campfire there at the Bible Institute that, you know what, maybe God has something for me this year. And so I had to work through all of those feelings, and I actually went down and I said, "Okay, God, I'll give you this year, and we'll see what you got for me. Obviously, I'm here, so... you know, let's see how you do." And obviously Kathy came along that year. And, and then on top of that, over the course of that year, just my interactions with specific men and specific ministries, God was beginning to change my heart quite a bit, in regards to my future. And so, I got to the end of my second year and I actually stayed a couple of weeks after graduation, I was driving the ski boat for the Word of Life Inn, and one of the missionaries at Word of Life came down to be my spotter. I needed a spotter that day, and I recruited Jim to come down, and so Jim sits on the boat with me all day. And over the course of that afternoon, he says, "Hey, Armstrong, why don't you go to Europe?" He goes, you know, "You can raise the money, you can go, you can spend a couple of weeks in Europe, and there's a big youth conference that's going to be going on, and you know, you can go to Spain and Italy and Germany." And I just thought, wow, that's cool. But I didn't think of it from a missions perspective. I just thought of it as a missions trip. I'll go. I'll come home. You know, yada, yada, yada. And so raised the money. I went to Europe. I had an incredible time. And over the course of the weeks that I was there, I came to the realization, you know what? I think God wants me to serve him full time. And it just was this really important time in my life. And it was one of those, while the campfire, you know, was kind of my dedication to the year, you know, this particular trip is what God used for me to be able to see what he had and what he could do, and gave me an opportunity to go see what I could do and what kind of ministry God could use me in. And so a majority of our time on that trip was spent in Spain. And so had an incredible time, so much so that when I came back, you know, I kind of had made the decision that, you know what, I think God's calling me to be a missionary to Spain. And so, of course, over time, Kathy and I's relationship has been growing. And actually, I'll pause, let her tell you about that, and then we'll pick up the story from there.
So when he came back from Spain and shared that he wanted to be a missionary to Spain, I had never once ever thought of being a missionary overseas. I always pictured myself as maybe a youth pastor's wife, or, you know, in that realm. So I kind of panicked. And it was the second year that we were dating, and when I was reading my Bible, right around that time that he had shared that he felt God calling him back there, I came across the verse, 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in perfect love, but perfect love casts out fear. And it just struck me so much, and the Lord said to me, I love you perfectly, and I'll take care of you no matter where you are. And I even had shirts made up for us to wear with that verse on it. And that became our verse, because I realized that I could go overseas and God would take care of me. And as that following year when we got married, John and I started raising support to go to Spain. And we both grew up in homes that prayed, and we both saw God work in amazing ways to provide for our families. But it was our families praying. And as we got married and we had very specific needs, God answered those prayers, and we were the only two praying. And it was just so cool to see God become personal to us specifically. And it grew my relationship with the Lord in a much more intimate way, because he was answering our prayers and no one else knew about it. And he was answering them so specifically. The one I'm mentioning right now is we took off work, both of us. I was working at Taco Bell. He was laying carpet. And we took off work because he had been invited to be a camp speaker for a week of camp during the first summer we were married. And we could have paid our bills late with late fees, and I'm sure that would have been fine. But we prayed on the way home from camp that week that God would provide the amount we needed to pay our bills on time. And when we got home, there was a check in the mail for that exact amount from somebody that had never sent us any money before and has never sent us any money since. And so it was just amazing to see things like that, God just answering our prayers. And that had to be in the mail before we even prayed. So it was just really personal to us at that, and those in many times since. And but just growing our own faith and not just our parents.
So when I came home from the Spain trip, Kathy actually met me at the airport. And so as we were sitting there and talking, I unveiled to her that, you know, I think God's calling me to go to Spain. And so, you know, she had to go, oh, okay, you know. And so, but it was really great because we went back to Word of Life. We went through the whole application process. We got approved to become missionaries. And then we started through the process of raising our financial support to go and stay there. And so we ended up going back for a second trip. Kathy then came and was able to see the ministry there in Spain and get to meet the missionaries and just to kind of get a feel for, you know, what the ministry would be like. And so we came back and started the process of raising our financial support. And we probably spent 2 years, roughly, maybe 2.5 years. And over the course of that 2.5 years, God did a whole bunch of things in our life. And that 2 years was really a strong maturing process. We worked at Word of Life in the summers. Going back to Word of Life Island again through those summers, and just serving and gaining experience. Also, we did an internship for 5 months, 4 months, 5 months, somewhere along there at Todd's home church in Indiana. And it's how we met Todd, and along with his mom and dad. And so, which was a great experience for us being there, learning, but then also building those relationships. There were a few things that Todd and I did together we probably shouldn't have done together. And, you know, there was, you know, fun things, you know, we got to be really good friends. And, of course, little did we know, but a couple years later, Todd and Susan decided to go to South Africa. And so, you know, there was that a couple of years there where we're raising support, we're getting ready to go and whatnot. And so, one of the summers, towards the end of our support raising process, we were approached by the leadership of Word of Life to not go to Spain. And so when they proposed that to us, I literally sitting in the meeting, I got all done, and very respectfully, I said, no. This is what God's called us to do. This is, you know, what we feel like. We've got a bunch of our money, a big chunk of our money in. And so, like, you know, we really feel like God's called us to this. And there's all, you know, there's a lot of statistics on how many people commit but then don't go. You know what I mean? And we didn't, you know, we knew that. And so, you know, we committed ourselves and know we're going to go. And so anyway, you know, Word of Life sat down with me and two key leaders. Matter of fact, the same two men that paid, that took care of this thing were the two men that I'm talking to about whether or not we go to Spain. And so what was interesting, though, one didn't want me to go to Spain, and the other one and wanted me to stay here, and the other one did. So we had this very interesting situation that God was using in our life. And so because of that, we decided to go through a process to really kind of test the heart of God. And I don't know that I recommend that. Does that make sense? I rarely would I say to somebody, you need to test the heart of God on that. But, you know, we decided we were going to do it. So, you know, just kind of, you know, the fleece idea in Scripture, okay, from Gideon, remember that? So we had already raised a bunch of money. We had already committed. And we thought, okay, if we're going to change, I need God to make the change, not me. And it can't be Word of Life. It can't be these other men. I need to hear from God as to exactly what does he want from us. And so we did a short season of prayer where we just literally, we prayed over it. And after praying over it, I still didn't have a clear answer. And so we decided, okay, fleece is coming out. So we're going to put a fleece out for God. And, so I outlined exactly what I wanted the fleece to be. I said, okay, God, I need this, 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 and this, and this. And it was basically his conversation with several people, wise people in my life, people I highly respected, older, folks, and I called some supporters. And so I got on the phone and started working through those conversations. And then there was an issue in a sense that there was a leadership change in Spain happening, taking place. So the original leadership that founded the field, was coming off. A new generation of leaders were coming on. And the role that for me was initially to be the camp director in Spain, to build a camp in Spain, and to start a camping ministry in Spain. And of course, the new leadership, as they came on, wanted to change all of that. And they were going to pull my gift mix into something different. And so I just put the fleece out for God, and I made the phone calls, and it was amazing. Every phone call I made, God was going change. And so ultimately we ended up never going to Spain. And so we ended up staying in Schroon Lake for 25 years. What's interesting is the money that we raised, that we had sitting in the bank account, ended up buying a camp property in the country of Spain. So for us, that was, that was a really great moment, just to see how God used that in a very, very special way.
The money you raised was used to buy a campground in Spain?
Yep.
They were purchasing a camp, and so instead of us, if we were letting the money accumulate in our bank account to help set up our ministry when we got there. So since it was given for Spain, John and I prayed about it and just felt like it still needs to go to Spain. And so we asked them to designate it towards that camp property.
And it was used to buy a camp.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Have you ever been back?
are gone.
Not
since that time that he and I got to go together.
And so, so God used all of that in a very special way. And so, eventually we ended up spending 25 years in Schooner Lake. And so, I worked, for the most part in the camping ministry there at, in Schooner Lake, Warlife Island. And then also I worked in the local church ministries department. So the children's program and the teen program that Bible Fellowship uses is a Warlife product. And so I worked in the department that created all of that, and I worked with those ministries and those missionaries. And so it was a really wonderful 25 years. We ended up with 3 children. And why don't you take a minute, just kind of tell us about that.
And I would just comment too, one of the supporters that we called that we really respected, we said, you know, how would it come across to you guys as our supporters? We've been heading to Spain all this time, planning to go, and his answer was so wise. He says, we want you to do whatever God wants you to do. And so that made it so much easier for us, because we knew God wanted us to stay and work in Schooner Lake. But if God would have asked us initially to stay in Schooner Lake, we probably wouldn't have wanted to, because as Bible college students, we saw the staff kids, and a lot of them came across as staff brats. And so God had to make us willing to go to Spain to go to Schooner Lake. And now we have kids that grew up on staff. And so we were very sensitive about that, because we didn't want them to be seen as that or come across that way. And it's difficult when they are constantly there and feel very free to be, you know, wherever they want to be on property. Or so it's very important to just help them understand that they still have to wait in line, you know, those things. But when our kids were born, John was the assistant camp director on the island. So our kids grew up at camp, and they love camp even still. And it's always been a very special part of their life. All of them have worked at camp, and God has used camp in their lives also. And so I enjoyed being a stay-at-home mom. I had a few little things I was involved in the community and also at our church. I loved photography, so I did sports pictures that I had substitute taught to at the public school, just to stay connected with the kids and their friends and who they were spending time with. And then at church, I was a youth leader, and then in the twos and threes class. A friend of mine and actually two of my friends and I, we were passed on. They had started it already, but a release program in the public school too. So we got to teach Bible club every week in the public school, and they're still doing it. They're still allowed to do it. So that's really, it was a big ministry that I loved there too. And it's interesting, because when you asked if we'd been back to Spain, the year that God put on our heart that it was time for us to move to a different ministry or job, John and I had gone back to Hawaii, and we had taken a trip. And that week, John had been given a job offer in Vero Beach, Florida. And so the time that we were in Hawaii, we were praying on whether or not that was what God wanted us to do. And we knew that it was. And as soon as we got home, one of the directors of the International Ministries of Word of Life came up and said, hey, would you guys be willing to start helping the groups that go overseas? One of the trips would be to Spain. And we already knew God had already told us that we should move to this other job in Florida. But it was just interesting because I even paused. I'm like, oh, honey. So then we moved to Vero Beach, Florida, and John worked with a company that was helping ministries build their technology. So we lived there for 5 years in Vero Beach, and I've always told John I would follow him anywhere, but when he said Florida, Vero Beach, Florida, that was like, oh, especially Vero Beach, Florida. and then God moved us to Lynchburg for 5 years while John worked with the divinity major students, and they were, he was the person that connected them to their internships to fulfill their ministry requirements before they graduated. And those 5 years, we were able to host some foreign exchange students. I wasn't really ready for an empty nest. And so God just opened that door while we were there. And so we had a Korean student live with us for 4 years. And now he's at Liberty University. And then last year, we had an Italian student. And then we thought and had talked about coming back to Florida eventually. And last fall, Austin mentioned that Pastor Andy was retiring, and Todd reached out and talked to John, and my heart was already ready to come back to Florida. It was just a little sooner than we thought. But God, as we stepped forward and just took each next step, God just opened the door so clearly, and it was very, very obvious to us that God wanted us back here. And so, and he even kept giving it better and better, making it better and better with the home he provided, and then Austin and Logan expecting a grandbaby of ours. And so it's just been very clear to the both of us.
So now, just to back up a little bit, when we made the decision not to go to Spain, my role stepped into the local church ministry's arm of Word of Life, and I worked inside of that for 25 years. And then also the camping side of Word of Life, as Kathy mentioned a moment ago. And so it turned out to be really great because I worked with all of the Word of Life missionaries here inside the United States. And I worked with the West Coast team in California, worked with the team in Florida, worked with the team in New England, the Midwest. And so I had a really great opportunity to have a lot of influence within the Word of Life ministry there, did a ton of speaking. Mostly evangelistically, and then training a lot of youth leaders around the nation. So did a lot of that for many of those years, and then obviously tied into camp. Matter of fact, the last couple of years at Word of Life, I ended up as the snow camp director at the Word of Life Bible Institute, running snow camp, and that was a lot of fun. And I was never a big snow person, like, you know, well, when you live in New York, you have to deal with the snow, but thoroughly enjoyed working in the camping ministry. Also gave me a chance to kind of pass the baton on camping to several young men at Word of Life. And of course, one of those is now the camp director here at Word of Life Florida, and the other one is the camp director for the camps in New York. And so both of those young men worked under me, and had a chance to work with them very closely for many years. And so that was really great opportunity, something I thoroughly enjoyed, passing along that experience and helping them grow. And so thoroughly enjoyed that. And then coming back to the decision to leave Word of Life, it was very interesting. God, in a very unique way, was working on our hearts and kind of preparing us, unbeknownst to us at a certain time. And Word of Life came to us, and they asked us to make a change. They wanted me to lead another ministry within Word of Life, and so we committed to pray for that. And what was interesting, we were actually headed to Hawaii, where my mom is at. We go to Hawaii every couple of years, and so we were fixing to go to Hawaii. And so we're like, oh, y'all are gonna ruin my vacation. Like, I gotta pray over a big decision on a vacation. And so we decided, okay, we'll pray about it. So we spent 2 weeks in Hawaii and just literally sitting on the beach, praying and talking and interacting with God and whatnot. And just through that whole decision, we came to the realization that God was moving us from Word of Life. And so that's where the Vero Beach thing came in. And, you know, we had worked with this organization in Vero Beach. I had worked with them at Word of Life. We had hired them to do a whole boatload of work for us at Word of Life. And I kind of was the middleman between all of that interaction. And that was, you know, how God used that. And what was interesting, once we moved to Vero, I had the ability to be in about, if I had to guess, probably 75 to 100 different mission agencies. I've been to the IMB. I've been, you know, in Atlanta. There's a whole boatload of mission agencies in Atlanta. And so it was really, really, really interesting to have been in one mission agency for many years, now to be in a bunch of mission agencies, and just to see how they operate, how they work, you know, helping with tools and training and technology ideas and those kinds of things. So it really spent some time in there. And as Kathy mentioned, I just say this, you know, we thoroughly enjoyed that ministry. It was awesome. And one day out of the blue, you know, I decided I wanted to finish my education. And, you know, and Kathy was kind of pressuring me a little bit to finish my education. I had 2 years at Word of Life. And so one of the men at Liberty used to work with Word of Life. As a matter of fact, one of the deans in the School of Divinity at Liberty was the dean of students at Word of Life Bible Institute. So I called John and I said, "Hey, John, I want to finish my education. What do I do?" He goes, "Well, you need to do this, 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 and this." And so I did those things. I called him again. "Now what do I do?" He says, "You need to do this, this, and this." And so I did those. And he goes, "Why don't you come here and work?" I'm going, "Ain't no way. No, I'm no more interested in working at a college than you could shake a stick at." You know, I just that's not me. And so then I called him again, you know, later, "Okay, now what do I do?" And so as I'm working, trying to put all together the pieces to get my education rolling and that kind of stuff, he keeps badgering me. And then he got somebody else to call me and badger me. And so I finally said, "Okay, I'll pray about it." And so again, Kathy and I just started praying about it. And it was very awesome to watch God open the door and close the door. And God very clearly closed the door in Vero and very vividly opened the door to Liberty University. And I'm not I'm not a big education guy, you know. And so, but the role that I played at Liberty was I worked within the School of Divinity, which is basically all the Bible students. And I had an opportunity to help them get into ministry. I worked at helping them get internship opportunities. I helped them get into local churches. I helped them get into camps. And so I served as the middleman between the school and the outside world in helping these young people who want to serve Jesus with their lives, getting them into opportunities to serve. And it was a very fulfilling and cool thing. And then one day out of the blue, guess who calls me? Todd. So Todd calls and says, "Hey, Andy's leaving. We got a guy happening. Would you consider coming down here to Sebring?" And I was like, "I don't think so." And so, not so much to Todd per se, but I just, honestly, I never really saw myself working in a local church. So at Word of Life, I worked with local churches. I helped local churches. We helped with their youth ministries. We helped with bring them to camp. So obviously we served the church in a great way. But I never saw myself in that, in that kind of role. And so my initial impression was, no. And so, Todd, kind of pressed a little bit, Todd's not necessarily so passive. And, he kept pressing the button. So we decided we'll come down here for a couple of days. So we did. We came here over a weekend and, spent some time with Todd, we spent some time with the elder board. And then we took some time just to go back and just pray over it. And, each one of the changes that God has done, we've always committed to pray over it and just to bathe it in prayer and to seek the face of God. And I honestly believe, and I think Kathy alluded to this earlier, many times God knows we're going to say no to X. You know what I mean? And I'll just say this, God knows I'm going to say no to Spain. There's no way I would ever go to Europe. I'm never going to be a missionary over there. God already knows that. So we know what God does. God puts me into B because he knows I'm not ready for X. Does that make sense? And so in our, in the progression of the way God uses us in the days of our lives, God takes us from here to here because he knows we're not ready for the next step. And so he has to get us through A. Then he's got to get us to B because ultimately he wants us at D, if you follow my logic here. And so again, Kathy and I, we just started praying over it. And we started talking, and then we came down and we visited and we prayed some more and we set aside a time frame, of just for us to pray it over. And then when we're getting to the end of it, let's see how we feel God, what God has for us. And so we stepped through all those steps and obviously, the end of the story, here we are. So.
I just want to ask you ladies, because I know you are great prayer warriors, and just let you know what our kids are doing right now so that you can be praying for them. Our oldest, Cody, is in California. He is still single, so our first prayer request for him is that God would direct him to the spouse that he has for him. But also, he is a teacher in a school for underprivileged kids. The school raises the funds, and then they allow these students that can prove they have a good support system at home to be able to do the school. And Cody's a teacher there, and this year he's also the basketball coach for the boys' team. So he's very relational with the students, and so just that he would see the impact of the relationships that he's building with those students that definitely and desperately need a role model in their lives. Our daughter, Danae, is married and lives in Tennessee, and she just had our first grandbaby. So just as they adjust to that, her husband is full-time student to get his master's in counseling and starts his practicum in January. So just financially and as parenting, but they were just, and being also able to get plugged into their church because they moved there right before she got pregnant, and so they've kind of been in and out a little bit, so just that they would be able to build relationships in their church. And of course, you know, Austin and Logan live here, and she's expecting their little girl the end of January. And their big request is they've been renting since they got married, that they've been looking for property to be able to buy and have a home on so that he can do his dog business. So they need a little bit of a couple acres at least, and it's been really hard. They've been searching and searching, but just pray that God would provide some property for them to be able to buy to start living in their own home. And also, our biggest prayer request, Mom and David, her husband that she married 10 years ago, they lived in Lahaina, where the fires were. So about 4 weeks ago, they came to live with us. And David is struggling physically. He had broken his leg in August. And so he's really struggling to be able to walk and take care of himself. So we've all three been taking care of him for a couple weeks. So just pray that God would give him the strength and the determination to get well.
All right, so that brings us. What kind of questions to now? So what kind of questions do you have for us? Yes, ma'am.
No, it was with Fellowship of Baptists for Home Missions. FBHM is the missionary board that they were with. Yeah.
And I always ask missionaries that come home, I have loaded questions. Breakfast with Crystal Rindle this morning. And be honest with us here. Okay, you came to Sebring. All right? What are the biggest adjustments that you don't have? Some of the adjustments that you've had, and I don't think you went into any detail of what you're going to be doing here in our church, because we love to have you. Mm-hmm. We want to get to know you.
Yeah. Do you mean me or John or both?
Both of you.
Okay.
I already know where you're. I hear from, because I have good ears. But I want to hear it from you folks.
Yes. Well, John obviously came to be on staff of the church, and so this is another intimate moment with the Lord. Back in about May, where everything's moving forward, we know we're coming, and I have a grandbaby coming in September, so I was like, okay, Lord, after the grandbaby's here, I would like a little bit of a job, and I was taking care of a lady that had Alzheimer's in Lynchburg. So I sat with her for 3 years. She passed away about a year before we moved back here. And so I said to John, laying in bed one night, I said, I would love to find another person that I can help care for. I said, and I would love it if the Lord would have it be somebody in our neighborhood. We knew already that we were buying the house from Ken. And it wasn't that long later, maybe a couple days, Logan and Austin called for Mother's Day. And Logan said to me, hey, Mom, would you be interested in helping the farmers, Bob and Carolyn, because she said, he's got some dementia, and Carolyn has to do a lot of everything. And so that's how I got connected with Bob and Carolyn Farmer. And they live one street over from us. And God just, I said, I don't even know if we really prayed yet. I just mentioned it to him. So it was just so sweet. And I started a little bit before the baby came, but they let me go see that baby anyway. So that's what I'm doing and helping me in Gopher Buddies on Wednesday nights. But I'll let John tell you what he's doing.
So obviously the retirement of Andy was taking place, and Todd was obviously in the church, was looking for a replacement for Andy. And as I think I alluded to this earlier, that, you know, we had already had a relationship, and my understanding of how this went was one night at church, Todd said something to my son Austin about, hey, what's your dad doing? And Austin said, that's a great question. He's working up at Liberty and he's enjoying it and whatnot. And so, and I think that was just the simple extent of that conversation is my understanding. But that, I think that was Todd just trying to figure out and doing a little, digging to find out what the story was. But I guess somehow or another God put me on Todd's mind. And so he talked to Austin, and then he turned around and called me. And as I think I alluded to you guys earlier, initially I was like, I'm not quite so sure about all this. Let me finish where we're going. So anyway, when we came down for those couple of days, as we walked through the building, Todd and I, as we talked and we had breakfast and lunch together and whatnot, the more and more I began to realize that maybe God is bringing me here for a specific reason. And one of the things that took place is we were walking through the building, and we were walking through this lobby right here. I saw all the pictures of the new building. And so Todd took me to the pictures of the new building that were on the wall and began to walk me through all the things that are happening here and the growth and the children's ministries and youth ministries. And as Todd's talking through all this stuff, and he was showing me the building. It was very interesting. When we lived in Scroon Lake, I was on the school board for the Scroon Lake Central Public School in town. As a matter of fact, I was the president of the school board 5 of the 6 years I was on the board. And so we did a $12 million capital campaign to totally renovate the Scroon Lake School. And so as Todd is sitting there showing, and we're looking at these pictures, and I, you know, talking to all this stuff, I said, Scott, are you aware that I was heavily involved in a $12 million project? And he goes, no. You know, and so all of a sudden my brain went, uh-oh, is God doing something here or not? Like, it's one of those little connection points that you begin to go, you know, is this why God's bringing me here? Is this, you know, so it's one of those little things that were part of the process that we felt like God was just dropping in our bucket, you know, these little things along the way. And so, you know, and then, you know, obviously we spent time with the elders. And so my role is a little different than Andy's in the sense that Andy primarily, you know, he did the book club, he did some visitation, but he also did a ton of speaking, like all the Sunday nights and those kinds of things. And so there's a little bit of a change in the sense that you're not necessarily getting as much speaking from me as you would have gotten from Andy. And part of that is because I bring more of an organizational kind of gifts to the table. And so the ability to deal with problems, the ability to deal with struggles, you know, making decisions and that kind of stuff. And then also to think kind of more future, like what are we doing? How's Bible fellowship going to look 10 years from now? And so, and then also to kind of take some of the operational challenges off of our pastoral staff right now. So while you will still be, like, for example, I will do the next 3 Sunday nights, you guys will get to hear from me. You probably already have a couple of times, so you won't hear from me as much as the other guys. But behind the scenes, part of what I'm doing right now is I'm working with Kuhl and Cobb on the new building, a big construction company in town. I had an email show up in my email 3 days ago, from somebody I don't even know. And it was this email where he says, hey, I understand Bible Fellowship is building a new auditorium. I have there's this organization that gives people money to build auditoriums. Can I come talk to you? I said, absolutely. And so laying in my office on the table there, I have all the plans. I have all the pictures of all the buildings, all that stuff. And so I met with this man yesterday. And we talked. And he knows of a an organization that grants money to help people build auditoriums. And potentially he could fund a big chunk of the project. And so I spent an hour and a half. We had some great conversation. So what I'm doing a lot behind the scenes. I'm taking some of the staff pressure off of our pastors. And my goal is to help just kind of, you know, streamline more things here at Bible Fellowship. And then clearly God has opened the door for us to be here to help with the transition to the new property, to the new building, and those kinds of things. So Ed and I have actually made a trip up to Avon Park, Baptist Church up there. And we've already looked at the new steel building that they've put in place. So there's a lot of effort. Those kinds of things are what I'm doing. And so, again, just a little transition, not exactly what Andy's doing, but helping to take the church and move it forward. And so that's kind of my role.
I have a non-spiritual question. What is your son's dog business? What does he do?
Austin is a hunting guide. And so he has a dog training business to train dogs to be hunting dogs. He does some behavior training too, but mostly hunting dog training, because he's a hunting guy.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now this is the son that's going to have a baby.
Yes.
Where do they live?
Right now they live on Sparta Road. They rent a place.
Oh, they live in Seabury.
Oh yeah. Nope, he's right here in Sebring.
Did he just move here?
No, he's married to Logan Lovett. She grew up in Sebring.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now so. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Kathy, is Logan do hair?
She does hair, yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Oh.
All the pieces.
Never can put it
all right, all the pieces are coming together, huh? Anybody else? Tennessee, but it's a little boy. It's actually a big boy. He was 9 pounds, 15 ounces when he was born. Yeah, so he's a big boy. So, and we're going up to see him in Thanksgiving, so we can't wait. So,
Mama here is going to live here.
At least through the winter, and then we'll see what happens in Lahaina. So, but she's...
That's where your home is, really.
Yeah.
Hawaii.
Yeah.
Now, how long have your home been in Hawaii? I've been married 10 years. I married a gentleman that was my first husband's best friend when we ministered in Hawaii.
Okay.
He was married before, and both of our spouses had passed away. So we made contact and ended up getting married. So he and I have been married 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm back in the original church that my husband started, now under another missionary pastor, and it's now level to the ground.
Yep,
but we're still meeting, and we've seen a lot of people come to know the Lord as a result of the fire.
And that's why it happened. Probably.
And my husband and I do have a house there. It's not livable because of the toxins and everything that are in the air. So it's just as well that we're not there.
Yeah.
But eventually we'll be able to go back.
Do they have any idea how long it'll take before you can go back?
At least another 6 weeks probably.
Oh, well, that's not long.
No.
Oh, my God, it's going to be long.
It depends on what area of town you live in. I'm going to get the toxins out. Does the sea breezes come in and just eventually dissipate those toxins so they go out?
The toxins, keep in mind, a lot of the buildings that burned were 200 to 300 years old.
So they had lead paint, lead pipes, lead nails, asbestos, and everything that's in them. So the ashes of those buildings are all those toxins. And of course, you constantly have a breeze,
right,
either
one way or the other. And so those toxins are picked up in the air. And so until they actually come in with a bulldozer and get all those ashes up, and big question now is where they look,
right?
Because they're toxins. So until they get all those ashes cleaned up, nobody can safely go back or rebuild or do anything like that.
Has there been any mission outreach from our church to help the church?
I don't know. I don't think so right now. There's been individuals that have helped the church. Somebody on a Sunday night rolled in and just handed some cash to me and said, "Hey, send that over to the church," you know. And I said, "Absolutely." That I didn't even catch who it was. And so, but yeah, so one person has done that. And it's one of those situations where obviously God is doing something there. We found out that Samaritan's Purse has given the church a big tent to meet in. And so once kind of town, you know, all this stuff takes place and it gets cleaned up, which obviously, you know, is probably going to be a while. Also note that this particular town of Lahaina to get groceries and everything else is now a 45-minute drive, you know, because you got to go to the different side of the island. So there's just a lot of elements in play there. And so anyway, we felt it'd be great for them to come stay with us for a while and just kind of take the stress and pressure off of them and everything they've got to do. And so
the church has no building to meet in, but they're meeting in a coffee shop that's owned by one of the members. They're meeting in the basement of his business, which is a coffee shop. And other churches on the island donated songbooks and chairs and everything, a piano and stuff that we needed in order to have services.
Okay.
And so we're still having services, and we have two places where we have prayer meetings during the week. So church is still the church.
Church is belonging.
And the first service we had after the fire was published or was on worldwide news. Because ABC, NBC, all the major networks filmed the entire service. And our pastors have gotten mail from Scotland, England, Korea, from just around the world. So the gospel message went out.
But there is definitely a desire to see the church being put back in place. And so, obviously, a little heritage on our end, we would love to see that. And so, we've been praying to see what God will do. And so, we would even encourage you to pray with us. Does that make sense? What's God's going to do? It was really cool to see Samaritan's Purse show up. And Franklin Graham actually walked on the property of the church and met with the pastor and said, "We will help you with a tent. So once all this gets cleaned up, we get you started with a tent." And so,
what's the name of the church, please?
Grace Baptist Church.
Oh, great.
So I would encourage you, there's obviously some time that needs to go, but let's be praying now for God to do something really cool on the island of Lahaina, or excuse me, on the island of Maui there in the town of Lahaina. After the fire.
After the fire.
Yeah.
Oh, so he had to come over here with the book of legend.
Yeah.
Bad on the trip.
Yeah. It was hard. The trip was hard.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.